Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another amazing day, another incredible opportunity to hear some Jewish Pride Radio. That's right, we are back for what we call the Week in Review. We're here, and we are going to be giving you the best of what's going on in the Jewish world. Unfortunately, like we've said so many times before, there's so many great things taking place. But most news agencies, most newspapers, or I don't even know, TV stations, if they're putting together some news right now, if there are even any Jewish TV stations. But if they are going to be reporting news, usually it's just the negative things. It's the things that people like to hear. But you know what? I like to think that there are people that want to hear good things that are taking place. And if you are sitting around and you hear a great story and you share it with a friend, you know what? Someone says, you know, wow, I didn't know that. And sometimes you see some of these stories being passed around on places like or platforms like Facebook, but we never get all of them. And although it is hard to perhaps find some of these stories, it's like one in every 10 or 15 stories that we read might be a good one. And these are the stories which are not published on the front page of the newspaper, but they're out there. And over the last week already, we've got so many. We've got our huge research department over here. Everyone is sending us in great stories. And if you see something, let me know. You can always let us know here at Jewish Pride Radio. And today, it happens to be Erev Shabbat. We like to do this on a Friday afternoon. Shabbos is coming. And this is going to be a particularly interesting weekend. That's because for, I don't know, most states, but a lot of states that participate in the lottery. I know Florida, where we're broadcasting from over here, is part of the Powerball. And it just jumped from like $650 million to $700 million. The latest estimated jackpot is already up to $800 million. So the question is, what do we do? Do we agree with the lottery? What does Judaism say about it? You know, if you're Jewish, you're tuning in. Maybe you're curious. You say, well, what could be bad? Well, maybe some people say it's gambling. Maybe you shouldn't gamble. You know, is it illegal to gamble? Is it legal to gamble? What does Judaism say about gambling? And if you're not Jewish and you're tuning in, maybe you're curious. What does is the Jewish perspective about gambling? So, be honest, we're not talking about that today. It's going to take a long time. It's a big subject. But I read this great article from Rabbi Goldberg over at Boca Raton Synagogue, and he said that, you know, the odds of winning, the odds of actually coming home with one of these prizes, which cost only $2, that's the ticket cost of a Powerball ticket, the odds of winning are literally like 1 in 300 million. 1 in 300 million. He says you basically have a greater chance of being hit by lightning, not just once, but twice in a single day. Now, most people that are listening probably haven't been hit by lightning even once, because otherwise, you know, you'd be dead if you were hit by lightning. But imagine you get hit by lightning, and then you get hit by lightning again in the same day. I mean, it's these types of things don't happen. Although the Brody family history does document that, I think it was my great-grandfather. My mom told me this. I think my great-grandfather was hit by lightning. I think he was actually hit twice. I don't know if it was the same day, but like in his life. I think he didn't die from the first one, but I think he was killed by the second one. But, you know, being hit twice is going to – it's not statistically likely you're going to win. So he says, why are we doing this? Is it just like we're throwing away $2, and if we are buying a ticket, should we buy more than one ticket? So he suggests, and I think it's very accurate. He says, you know what? It's an amazing opportunity for us to dream. Odds are we're not going to win. But I can tell you that everyone that buys a ticket does have an idea of what they might do if they did win. Imagine you win. I bought a ticket. I bought a ticket 2 days ago. I bought it last week as well. We didn't win. I didn't lose because no one won. But what would you do? You know, would you just take all the money, buy a house for $800 million? I don't know what kind of house that would be, but you buy the whole city. But what would you do? Would you move to Israel? Would you make Aliyah? Would you go and give a lot of charity? Would you help the community? Would you help the world? Would you help, you know, change the world, change the globe? We're talking about a massive amount of money. We're talking about this is a game changer. I don't know if one person's going to win or if a number of people might split it, but someone eventually is going to win. So he says, you're really buying the opportunity to think and contemplate and say, you know, if I had it, what would I do with it? It's a big jackpot, $800 million. It's nothing to laugh about, but I'll be laughing if I win. So I have my ticket. You can go buy a ticket. you might ask, why would I encourage you to buy a ticket if I already have the winning ticket? Because what happens, the more people buy that one ticket, the more money goes into the pot, I think. So if you buy, then we just make more money. So everyone should buy it. But again, I might have the winning one already. So just beware. And also, remember they say, at least Rabbi Goldberg suggests, you don't need to buy more than one. Because if, you know, on the one hand, we're destined to win, so you'll win with one ticket. Can't assume we're going to win $800 million or close to $1 billion if you don't buy anything. So one ticket is enough. I bought a $3 ticket. That's where you add on another dollar and you get something. I don't know, if you win, you get more money. So we'll see. We'll report next week who wins. If no one wins, I guess the next jackpot will be well over $1 billion. Well, we'll see what happens. If I do win, we still will be back. Maybe we'll do a special on Saturday night or Sunday. I can tell you about my numbers. Anyway, that's for the lottery, but we do have a lot of fun things to tell you, things that are taking place all over the place. And I think when it comes to Israel, speaking about if you would move there or not move there, but certainly it is our eternal homeland. There's some great things taking place in Israel right now. First of all, I don't know if you saw that Paraguay unfortunately suffered a flood. It's the worst flood in, they say, 50 years. I mean, this is terrible. 100,000 people that live there have been displaced by all the flooding. There's torrential rains. They're saying this is a disaster. But we should really be proud of the fact that Israel is going to be donating food. They're going to be giving assistance kits. They're helping out. And they were probably one of the first ones on the ground when they arrived there. What's interesting is that you might say, well, 100,000 people that live in Paraguay have been displaced. That doesn't include all the people that haven't been displaced but have obviously been affected by this huge flood. You know, maybe the Israelis are going because there's a huge Jewish community in Paraguay. Maybe that's why they're going. They're going there to help everyone else. But the reality is that that's not true. They estimate that maybe there's about 1,000 Jews living there. And yet you see that when Israel senses that there's a danger or there's something affecting another country and they could be effective in helping, they'll be the first ones out there. And they really are. And it's something, again, that we should always be proud of, that Israel is there to aid other countries. We'll see that that's not the only place. In fact, there's another great story I read that they're doing the same thing, and it's happening right now in the UK, because apparently in UK they've already had some sort of flood that as many as 1,000 businesses in the city and in areas of West Yorkshire. I don't know where that is. But they're saying this is the worst disaster of its kind in 70 years in Britain. They estimate the damage right now. We're talking about well over $1 billion. Doesn't necessarily affect Israel, but it does affect Israel because Israel has sent out humanitarian aid and is there on the ground and is assisting right now. They're giving out whatever they need, you know, blankets, simple things, but they're going to be there long after helping rebuild Great Britain. Can be very proud of that. But speaking of Israel and getting back to Israel, some really fun things are happening in Israel. I don't know if Israelis, if they come over to the U.S. and then they see all the great things taking place in America. You know, you go on the internet or you're at someone's house and all of a sudden they say, hey, you want to watch a movie tonight? And they say, sure, let's go to the video store. They say, there's no video stores anymore. People get everything on Netflix. Well, you go back to Israel and there's no Netflix. I remember actually one of the things they had in Israel, which I'm sure they still have it. I think I saw it on a recent trip. But they would have these like DVD kiosks, similar to, I guess you have the Redbox over here in America. But they had them long before Redbox was selling or renting videos. It was one of the things, I don't know if it was developed in Israel, but they certainly had it a long time before we had it. But now even Netflix, which started as some sort of rental business for DVDs, has become the streaming service for online video distribution. Netflix is coming to Israel. I'll be honest, not only Israel, but another 129 other countries, but it's nice to see that Israel is part of that. And although they don't have programming yet in Hebrew, most of it obviously is going to be in English. I'm sure many, many Israelis are going to enjoy the fact that not only is Netflix coming, but it's actually coming at a very reasonable price, similar to what we pay here in America, about $10 a month. And speaking of, you know, money, I saw this as well, and this is a story that came out, I guess, almost 3 years after the fact. Sometimes we don't hear about the news until it's well after, I guess, everything's been done. But everyone knows the name Sheldon Adelson. He's very, very prominent in politics. People know him right now in terms of what he's doing for the GOP, for the Republican Party. But there was an offer apparently that he made, and this is, we're talking about a mega billionaire. We're talking about someone that has tons of cash. You know, this lottery might be a big deal to most people. To him, I don't know, $800 million when you've got 10, 20, I don't know how many billions he has, but he's got a lot of money. There's a report coming out now that he actually offered the United States government. This is funny because it's not like a tax-deductible donation when you give money to the government. But he actually wanted to give $1 billion to fund the Iron Dome batteries. Now, if you remember back to the more recent attacks that were taking place on Israel, specifically from places like Gaza, we know that the defensive shield system called Iron Dome, which was so successful in protecting the Israelis and ultimately was funded through the United States government. But it's nice to see that before there was a program in place, maybe there was a debate on who was going to fund it, how we were going to fund this. It's a lot of money to give any foreign government, but certainly a partner and an ally like Israel, you find the money. And that's what exactly what America ended up doing. But it's nice to know that you have billions of dollars, or in some of us maybe we'll have $800 million. The question is, where are we going to go with it? What are we going to do? He decided that he wanted to protect Israel. That's exactly what, that was the only reason he did it, because he knew there were people that were going to be in harm's way, and how can you protect them? So you have an Iron Dome. The only problem is it costs money to get it there or to develop the technology. So he says, you know what? I'll pay for the whole thing. Very impressive. We want to give Mr. Adelson, our, I guess, Jew of the Week award. I don't know if he wants to call in right now. I'll be happy to give you the award. But thank you so much. It's really just, you know, it says a lot about who he is. There can't be really an ulterior motive when your motivation for giving away $1 billion is just to protect people. It's very special. And talking about protecting people, I don't know if you knew this lady. I don't know who she is. But I did read about a very special lady named, Judith Kay. Who was she? Sounds like a nice Jewish woman. Judith Kay was actually a groundbreaking New York judge. And unfortunately, she just passed away this past week. And even though we always talk about this particular show being Jewish pride and talking about all the good things, so unfortunately someone dies, what's good about that? We want people to live. We want people to accomplish. But of course, if we read about someone that passed away and they accomplished so much, I think that we could really be inspired by what they did. And she had the unique position, I guess you could say. She was appointed to the Court of Appeals by Governor Mario Cuomo back in 1983, and she served as the first chief judge, I guess, as a woman in 1983. And what I think is even more significant, and something which is even more inspiring, is that I thought when she died, right, maybe she died in office or as a judge, but that's not actually what happened. She retired at 70 because they make you retire when you're 70, apparently, if you work for the court. And she died at 77. So what did she do from 70 to 77? I don't know. I didn't see her down here in Boca. She wasn't playing Mahjong. What did she do? She began to work for a prominent law firm in New York. So when they talk about someone that really had every right to stop working, she really had every right to retire and live and be proud of all of her accomplishments. This is someone that did so much, not only for the legal community, but also for the Jewish community, for the people of New York. But she didn't stop there. She just kept on working. And I think that's so important, that if we have the opportunity, we've got to keep on going. Keep on going. Keep pushing ahead. Let's think about this past week. What did we do? What could we do this coming week? And fortunately, Israel is now beginning to see a drop in terrorist activity. for the first time in the last 4 months, terrorism seems to have taken a 25% drop. Now, what kind of numbers are we talking about? Unfortunately, I was in Israel when one of these attacks took place not too long ago. I was there in November. I guess it was about a month and a half ago. The Shin Bet has recently said that November had 326 attacks, whereas December had 246. So that's a big drop. Again, it's about 25%. There were 10 fatalities in November, and December only had 3 fatalities. Now, they say only. That's really a bad way to describe it, because you can't talk about a Jewish life as only. You know, only 3 people died. You know what? That's a tragedy. That's something which the whole global world should be mourning. Attacked for no reason other than just being a Jew. Who does that? What kind of people are these? There were obviously dozens of people that were wounded. But in those 2 months alone, you had about 600 people that were attacked. They also wanted to put together for the first time, in the December report, the Shin Bet, which is the Israeli Secret Service, wanted to add a new category, and they did. It's called Jewish terrorism. So you had 326 attacks in November on Jews. You had 246 attacks in December on Jews. And in the Jewish terrorism category, which, again, it shouldn't even be there because it's embarrassing that there would be such a thing called a Jewish terrorist. But, you know, at the end of the day, if there is a Jewish terrorist, we've got to publish that. So in the month of December, it listed in that column or in that category only one incident. And it's nothing to be proud of. But it was an incident. I'll tell you what it was. There was a hurling of 2 smoke grenades into a home near Ramallah, but did result in no injury. But it's recorded and it's there. As far as the number of attacks total, we should know that since September 1st, they documented 1,415, right? It's almost 1,500 attacks, and most of them took place in the month of October. Okay, moving right along, because the hour is getting late, and we want to still bring you, I got another ton of stories here I just want to bring you. I'm not really sure why this is happening, but there's 2 major books that are being, I don't know if the word is republished, but they're coming out again. One is Mein Kampf. And you say, what's going on, Mein Kampf? What are we talking about here? Why would that be a subject? So first of all, it's really disturbing that Jewish groups apparently are split on Mein Kampf, the fact that it's arriving now in German bookstores. I thought it was illegal to even own a copy. But apparently this book, as well as the book of, what's her name? Anne Frank's diary. I guess after, I think it's 70 years, European books, they lose their copyright, and anyone can then publish them. So the head of the World Jewish Congress, the president, Ronald Lauder, right, like Esther Lauder, it's the same family, he says this, obviously this poison should be left in the cabinet of history, which is exactly what I would say. You know, the fact that it's written, you can't erase it, but don't bring it out. Just lock it up somewhere, and we don't need to see this book again. Whereas you have some other guy here who's basically trying to explain why it would be a good thing, his support of the book coming out. He says, yeah, well, I can well imagine that this critical annotated edition will shed light on and demystify this book. You know what? No one needs to demystify the book. Let me explain this to you. Anyone that's listening, the book is a disaster and should never be read. And anyone who has a copy should just burn the copy, because it's probably one of the worst things ever written in the history of the world. Let's just get rid of it. Unfortunately, it's inspired so much hatred. And again, I'm not really sure why there's a split on why this book or should or shouldn't be published again. But of course, you have some crazy people out there that think it should. But, you know, everyone was really, really moved last week. It was New Year's Day. It was January 1st. And we heard about an attack in Tel Aviv at a cafe. 2 people were killed in the cafe. The taxi driver who was, I don't know if the word is like hijacked in order to take the murderer away from the scene of the crime, but he was found today, and the police or the army, whoever it was that found him, he was killed. So he's gone. He's out of the picture right now. Not that that should bring any consolation to those that were murdered, but it's nice to know that there's a terrorist that's off the streets, another crazy person that we just don't need walking around. I mentioned before that Britain, the Great Britain, is putting together or Great Britain is receiving aid from the Israelis. Fortunately, they're under some horrendous conditions with flooding. But at the same time, there is some good news coming out of Britain, where the Royal Mail, I don't know if that's like the name of their postal service, the Royal Mail is now announcing that one of the new stamps that they're going to be issuing for the new year is going to be a commemorative stamp featuring Sir Nicholas Winton. I don't know if you've ever heard of Nicholas. I think we covered him on a previous edition of Jewish Pride Radio, but someone that we can be really proud of. They call him the British Schindler. This is a person that was, I guess, born to Jewish parents for some reason. Again, I don't know the story or the history of their family, but he was baptized. And now you can imagine he was about 30 years old. This is 1938 December, so it's right before the war is about to break out. Guy is planning on going skiing, little vacation in Switzerland. But obviously his plans changed when he heard about the refugee crisis in Czechoslovakia and the Nazis were occupying, and it was just a disaster. So what does he do? He starts getting people together somehow. And over the course of almost a year, he takes 8 trains of people. We're talking about almost 700 children. And he saves their lives. And you know what the most fascinating part of this story is? That he didn't tell anyone. Basically did it. And I think after he died, it wasn't after he died. It was at some point in his life, someone sort of leaked the story. Maybe it was his wife. He lived till 106. The guy was knighted. He was given many, many different awards. I would just, you know, if this guy was still alive, I don't know if he is or isn't anymore. Now, I said he died here on July. I guess it was this past year. But I would just keep giving him awards, like every day. Just wake up, just find him, and just give him another award. Because that's someone that not only risked their life to save people, but look how many people he saved. Almost 700 children, 669 children, each of which probably have a family now. You know, you can imagine, you know, each family has tens or dozens of children or grandchildren. I mean, just imagine what he was responsible for. Really, really special. We mentioned the story about Anne Frank. The book is going to be, they're trying to figure out, should it be republished? Is there a copyright? There's no copyright. But speaking about her house, I was once in Amsterdam. I didn't get to go to her house. I was only there for less than 24 hours. But they say that the house that Anne Frank lived in and where the famous book was, the diary was written, has now had more visitors each year for 6 years in a row. 2015, they had almost 1.3 million visitors. And the number just keeps growing year in and year out. Now, I don't know who's going and visiting each year. You know, if you take that number, it's obvious, it's clear that it's not just Jews that are visiting. Because after just a few years, you would just have every Jew going to see it. And I know many that haven't even been to Amsterdam, haven't even been to Europe. So it must be, I would even assume, that most of them are not even Jewish people. And to me, that's amazing. Because it's just another opportunity to learn about the Jewish history, Jewish aspects of the Holocaust. And most people don't know. Most people have no idea. Listen, most Jews even don't know. And I'm going to say that. Most Jews have no idea the details and what actually transpired. And unfortunately, the further away we get from the Holocaust, the further away we move, the more survivors that were the eyewitnesses we're losing as well. And it's important not only for Jewish people to continue to learn their own heritage and learn their own Jewish history, but really for the world to look at that. I mean, that was a war which changed humanity. You know, no one really ever expected that something like that could ever happen. But wow, more visitors. That's great. That is really great. Let's take a look over here. Only got a few minutes left. I think we have time just to do this. Speaking of Europe, Holland, I don't even know if you pronounce it Holland. I thought it was the country Holland, but it's actually talking about the French president, François Hollande. The president of France unveiled a new memorial plaque right outside the Paris kosher supermarket where an Islamic militant killed four Jews last year. So this was a tragedy. The whole world was looking. Everyone saw what happened. And now there'll be a permanent memorial to those Jews that died. Unfortunately, France has had many, many issues. And from what I hear, things are not looking great in France right now. If you're listening, if you're tuning in from France, you know, the Jewish community of France, just stay strong. You know, a lot of people are making Aliyah in record numbers. Netanya, they say, they don't even speak Hebrew in Netanya anymore. It's not even English. Like, the most common language now is French. So just stay strong. Jewish Pride Radio stands along with you. And I guess just to close over here, just three really nice stories, things that we can really be happy for or happy about. There's a Holocaust survivor was reunited with his rescuer in New York City. We're talking about the survivor is now 77. He's been reunited with a Catholic family. She's 86. Just imagine, they haven't seen each other since that time. How emotional that must be to see someone that literally saved your life during such a tough time when, as we mentioned before, you might want to hide someone, but on the pain of death, you might give second thoughts. But there were so many of what we call righteous Gentiles that risked their life to save Jews. What a beautiful thing that is. And in closing, the Jim Joseph Foundation. This is an organization that's given away. It's an amazing thing. This is really just unbelievable. They've given away $400 million in the last 10 years. Almost half a billion dollars. And they just awarded another $6.5 million in grants for Jewish education. Many, many great people have received these awards. I see one went to, actually I don't have to name all of them right now, but a lot of great places ended up getting some money. So we're going to see some good things coming from those investments. And of course, we know that in the last 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, the unbelievable franchise, Star Wars, came out. And one thing I didn't know, which I just read about, is that the actor that played Boba Fett. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you're not watching Seinfeld, I'm Seinfeld. This guy actually played on Seinfeld as well. Jason Wingreen, he's a Jewish actor. He was the voice of the bounty hunter known as Boba Fett in the original Empire Strikes Back. He died. He was a Jewish guy. But again, it's one of these things, if you're not really a big Star Wars fan, you're not going to know who he is. He shows up in the movie as this guy in a mask. You don't see his face ever. But one of these guys, you always kind of wonder what his role was. And I guess if you watch the older ones and you start from the beginning, you can sort of see how that evolves. He has a, I don't know if he's the son or the father, but a lot of Jews involved in Star Wars. And finally, a very interesting story. I don't know who this is going to affect, but it just shows you how times, they are certainly changing. The first kosher certified marijuana is going on the market next month. That's right, the Orthodox Union, that's the largest kosher certifying agency, not only in America, but really in the world, has now certified Vireo Health of New York. They're putting together non-smokable medical marijuana products. Apparently, New York is going to be, I guess it's legal for medical marijuana. I don't know if that means in January or February, but it's coming right now. And they're discussing not only the fact that it's kosher to eat, but if someone's ill and someone needs it, you know, nothing wrong with that, according to the rabbis here of the largest kosher certifying agency. So I actually wanted to do that, believe it or not. That was actually my idea, to go and as a rabbi certify. I even had a tagline. The tagline was, "We answer to a high authority." Okay, whatever. Just having some fun, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you so much for tuning into Jewish Pride Radio. This is the Week in Review. Inspire yourself to inspire others. Thanks for tuning in. We're so happy to be back for a whole new season. Please spread the word. And, of course, remember, it's your life. Have a good day.
burning hot.